Well, our scripture lessons follow along as our lectionary moves us ever closer to Christmas. The first from the epistle, the letter of Paul to the church at Rome, chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. In your New Testament, in the Pew Bible, it's on page 142. So hear this salutation of Paul. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, the gospel concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for the sake of his name, including yourselves who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all God's beloved in Rome who are called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The second reading comes from the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25. And in a rare thing, we're actually on page 1 of the New Testament. So take a look in your pew Bible if you want to follow along. And I think you'll recognize this story. Now, the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Christmas Day is now so close that if you close your eyes, you can almost smell the aroma of sweet hay in the manger. If you have kids or if you've been around kids recently, then I'm sure you feel the excitement building. I know that's the way it is in our house. But this morning, I want you to think about all of the images that you see in our popular culture these days as we're getting so close to Christmas. Think about those Christmas specials you see on TV. Think about the endless commercials. Think about the ads in your Sunday newspaper. And think about that steady stream of Christmas cards that have come through your mailbox these past several weeks. All of those wonderful images have likely formed a collage in your mind, a collage of what happened almost 2,000 years ago in the Holy Land. It's interesting, though, when you get right down to it, our popular images often pull together parts of the Christmas story that are scattered throughout the Gospels. And sometimes our popular images bear no resemblance at all to the actual story. One of the most popular images is that of angels, Christmas angels. We often see them hovering over the fields as the lowly shepherds look up at the star of Bethlehem, Or sometimes you see a single angel flying above the stable scene in a creche, for instance. And sometimes in those beautiful Christmas cards that depict Mary in 16th or 17th century Italian clothing, you see an equally splendid angel appearing to the Virgin Mary, an angel with gorgeous white eagle wings. Well, when you actually read the Bible, you discover that in the Hebrew Bible, in the Old Testament, God usually talks directly to people. But then you also find out that several times in the New Testament, God does use angels as messengers. Okay, but now I want you to think about all of those popular images you've ever seen in your lifetime and answer one question. Have you ever seen a Christmas card that depicted Joseph being visited by his angel? Have you? I never have, and I would guess that if you have, it's probably only a few times. But as you well know, both Mary and Joseph were visited by an angel. And in Mary's case, only Luke describes the scene, and that writer tells us that Mary was spoken to by the angel Gabriel. In Joseph's case, it's only mentioned in Matthew, and there it's described that an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Well, on this fourth Sunday of Advent, I want you to try to imagine what it must have been like for Mary and for Joseph to have these visits by an angel of the Lord and how they must have reacted to what they were told. You know the story. Mary was told that she was pregnant with a baby who would become the Savior of the world, despite the fact that she was a virgin. And Joseph was told that even though his fiancée was a virgin, she had conceived a child from the Holy Spirit. Joseph was supposed to take this young girl as his wife, to support her in her birth, and then to name this child Jesus. Well, how do you like that? These two people are probably, for the most part, very simple, regular folks who are called out by God to do extraordinary things, to play simply amazing roles in the coming kingdom of God. But how would you respond if an angel came and told you these preposterous stories? Well, I believe that in both cases, Mary and Joseph displayed amazing courage. Mary was pregnant and would give birth to the promised Messiah. Joseph and Mary had been chosen to be the earthly parents of the Son of God. When they first heard what God had done in their lives, they had the courage to believe in this miracle, and they responded with joy. Joseph could have had Mary put to death, could have had her stoned for her unexplained pregnancy, but instead he purposefully ignored the social pressures surrounding him. He took Mary as his wife, and despite all the talk swirling around this young couple, they became a family. As they considered the consequences of what God had done, they both had the courage to step up and to claim the roles that they were to play in God's master plan. And they responded with hope. The Roman Empire had commanded that this young couple and everybody else return to the land of his birth in order to register for a census. And despite being far along in her pregnancy, Joseph bundled up his bride and they traveled on foot a long distance to return to Bethlehem. As this plan unfolded in their very lives, they both had the courage to step out and to make this kingdom plan a reality. And they responded with faith and with obedience. Today in 2007, as we approach yet another Christmas in our lives, I pray that you will take a lesson in courage from these remarkable people, Mary and Joseph. Each of us must have the courage to believe in the miracle that God has named us children of God. and we should respond with joy. Each of us must have the courage to step up and claim the role that God would have us play in God's master plan, and we should respond with hope. And each of us must have the courage to step out into the world and to make this kingdom plan a reality in every way that we can. And we should respond with faith and with obedience. This courage comes to us from God as a gift. And the greatest gift of all is the birth of a little baby boy, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.